You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to a new day, and thanks so much for being a part of the program. And there is a lot to get to on this busy Tuesday afternoon, including some breaking news. And we will share that with you now concerning, we hate to see this happening, but one of the first big ships has fallen, Wake Forest and Notre Dame. That game this weekend at Winston-Salem, it has been postponed. COVID issues at Notre Dame, and we will talk about it in just a minute. It was just a week ago today. We were right at this moment talking to Brian Kelly about how well that program had done, and you hate to see this. Meanwhile, Mac Jones, he's not sitting anything out. He will be the starting quarterback Saturday in Columbia, where they had some issues as well. But according to Coach Drink, things are going a little bit better. Mac Jones beats out Bryce Young, and he had really had a fantastic fall. Other starters named, of course, we know Bo Nix, Miles Brennan, K.J. Costello. That's not really a big surprise. Mond is not a surprise. Trask. Wilson at UK, there was some conversation, but with Gatewood still not cleared. Colin Hill was a little bit of a surprise, and Garantano continues to surprise anybody. Will he be Garantano this year or Garantano? That is the question. Charles Barkley, just when you thought it was safe to watch Monday Night Football, here comes Chuck. Upchucking all over the Auburn Tigers opponent this weekend. I'm sure Gus Malzahn really happy about that. But with Charles, it's always in just innocent fun.
Listen, things are never that bad. We're going to kill Kentucky. I'm worried about Georgia the next week. Come on, man. This is not basketball. We're not going to worry about Kentucky and football. Stop it, Herbie.
Careful.
Okay, man.
Charles.
Okay.
Charles.
Okay. I hope Stoops is watching this interview and getting the troops fired up for that game.
Chuck's a good sports fan, but he may have forgotten Kentucky has a really good football team. Meanwhile, there's been some conversation with the 10 SEC games this year that maybe this could be something that happens in the future. Maybe not. Greg Sankey saying the reality is we don't know what next year will look like. We hear a lot about vaccine, this and that, immunity, but I don't know what next year will look like. I hope it's back to normal. And if it's back to normal, our plan is to play 8 conference games. Meanwhile, Nick Saban, what about you?
I certainly think that playing 10 conference games makes it very challenging for the players, makes it very challenging for our team. As I look at the AP poll or whatever, we're playing 5, 6, 7 teams that are mentioned in that, depending on which one you look at. So it's very, very challenging, but I think it's a great opportunity for players to be able to compete. I've always been an advocate of playing more games so that every player gets to play every team in the East, and this is certainly going to create that opportunity to a large degree for a lot of our players.
And this just in from the League of Women Voters, instead of the two presidential candidates next Tuesday night, we're going to have Saban and Commissioner Sankey. Just kidding, of course. What we are going to do, we're going to have plenty to talk about today, including the Notre Dame story, which literally has just broken. We'll also talk to Owen Buchanan about the Aggies. Bruce Feldman, he's got a new book coming out about Coach O. great running back from Ole Miss, Jerrion Ely, will join us a little bit later in the program, and Alex Scarborough on the person we just got through hearing about what he was like at his first head coaching job nearly 30 years ago. He was at Toledo. Remember a couple years ago when UCF won a national championship, or they claimed they did? That's when Scott Frost was winning college football games with regularity. Well, guess what? The quarterback of UCF said after the win over Georgia Tech, which is one of the worst schools in the ACC, we're the best team in Florida. And ESPN Stats checked it out. They are a 1.3-point favorite over Florida, 12 over Miami, 14 over FSU. And you know what I think about ESPN Stats? Family show, I can't say. Anyway, great to have everybody here. We'll give you an update on the Notre Dame game. That's the first big domino to fall in the college football season. We've seen some other games, but Notre Dame having to postpone an ACC game, big deal. We'll talk about it in a couple of minutes. We'll also get your phone calls and begin with Jeremy, who is in Georgia. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I seen Twitter a while ago. They said Florida's got 10 cases. Do you think they'll put out the names of the 10 people that's got positive cases?
No. I don't think they're going to put out names, and I think that is something that should be protected. But I do think you're starting to see schools be a little more transparent, Jeremy, with numbers. And some of these you can figure out, but names we will not see. If you ask me. Appreciate the call. Evan is up next in New York. Hello, Evan. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
What's going on, Evan?
A lot, really. But I have a question for you. Since the Big Ten is only playing like 8 games compared to how many games conferences such as the SEC and the ACC are playing, do you think that a Big Ten team has a shot to do good in the season or no?
Evan, I do. I think if you see a Big Ten team, whether it's Ohio State or Penn State or someone else, go undefeated and win their championship, even if they don't go undefeated, I think they'll be considered for the college football playoff. Who's your favorite team, Evan?
My favorite team is Oregon.
Okay. Well, they have not made up their mind yet whether they're going to play or not, although there is certainly some speculation that they will.
Yeah. I hope they play. Otherwise, I guess I'm rooting for Tennessee.
You've got a very eclectic group of teams. How do you choose your teams, Evan, if I may be so bold?
I have a collection of paper football college helmets, and I have over 21, and I choose which ones look the nicest.
Okay.
I have, like, over 21 helmets.
That makes about as much sense as anything else I've heard. Evan, you stay in touch with us, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Terry is in Georgia. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great, Terry. Thank you.
Little trivia question. I'm gonna skip the trivia question. Let's get into football.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Ole Miss Florida game this weekend.
Sure.
Okay. All right. I think Ole Miss is gonna be ready to play. I think Kiffin will have the team ready to go. I don't know if Plumlee's going to start or Correll, but I don't know that it really matters. We got adequate running backs. I know you're going to have one of our great running backs on later today on the show. But if Lane Kiffin were to call you right now, if you're and you're assessing the game for him, what strategies do you think you would tell him to look at to have a shot at beating Mullen's very talented Florida team? What do you think?
Well, let me offer a response to that. I know Lane really well, and Lane understands my knowledge of football compared to his, so he wouldn't call me. But if he did, I would call you and say, you tell me. I would try to slow the game down a little bit because the Gators can be pretty dangerous.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. We knew there would be cancellations and postponements, and there already has. Every week there has seemingly been a big game scrubbed. Baylor-Houston has been part of it, a couple of other schools. Today it was Notre Dame, and we are really happy to be joined by Pete Sampson of Notre Dame. Pete, thanks for the time. It was just a week ago we had Brian Kelly up here, and he was really upbeat, everything seemingly going well. As we say hello to you this afternoon, what has transpired to cause this game to at least be postponed? It could be made up maybe in a week or two, because they both Wake and Notre Dame have open days. But what happened today?
Yeah, I mean, they had an outbreak of positive cases after the weekend, and last week was very bad for Notre Dame, where they had 7 players held out for non-injury reasons. That was sort of breaking right before the game against South Florida, and there was a hope internally that, you know, that was going to be the end of that. They were going to be able to stamp it out, do antigen testing Sunday morning, but those tests revealed that it's gone a little bit deeper than that. So they've suspended football activities. The game this weekend is off, and you know, if you're sitting here with 13 players in isolation and 10 players in quarantine, it makes you wonder if, you know, an extra week of delay is going to make enough of a difference that you could actually play this game on the October 3rd weekend.
Let's get inside this, Pete, because it's always a little bit confusing when you see numbers, but quarantine rarely has mystery to it. So, I mean, without them telling us everything, they have given us a bit of data. How do you compute it, and what does it portend?
I think the big concerns for Notre Dame right now is you have the 7 new positive COVID-19 cases. That's one concern. But I think it gets deeper than that. You know, my sources indicate that it's jumped around position groups. In the past, you've sort of seen, you know, at safety or running back or linebacker, for example, you lose a few guys at each spot, but it wouldn't move across the roster. I think that's sort of where they've lost a grip on this, is it's moving around different position groups. And as of this afternoon, they're still contact tracing these 7 new cases. So they're not quite sure how deep that's going to go as of the release that they put out at 2:45. So I think that's why it's tricky, because it doesn't feel like Notre Dame has the handle on it that it did a week ago when they had 7 guys out.
Now, this game originally was supposed to be at Bank of America Stadium, then it was moved to campus, and now it is on hold. I mentioned, as many have, that coincidentally both have open dates the following week, and I realize this story literally has just broken, Pete, and you're still reporting on it, but what does it look like to try to get this game in the following week?
I mean, if they can, they will. I think it's purely a matter of whether Notre Dame is going to meet the roster standards to be able to play, and whether they'll be able to practice, because you know they've shut down practice today. It's unclear when they'll be able to resume that. But if that goes into a week from Tuesday, you know, if they can't reopen by the weekend, then it's difficult for me to understand how the October 3rd weekend would work. So That's the part where you need some time to let it play out. When Notre Dame can reopen its facility, when they have a handle on this outbreak, then they can move forward. But right now, that they're literally in the process of figuring that out as we speak.
And Pete, I hate to do the way overused, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? But Notre Dame, from a distance, was playing fantastic. I mean, I've seen a little bit of both games. You've seen them all. Until now, what did this team look like to you?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a team that had a big influx of talent in the freshman class, and they were figuring out how to use it. They weren't holding back on that, and I thought the experience on the offensive line was really showing itself. You know, they have two very sharp coordinators in Tommy Rees and Clark Lee. I think that their expertise and flexibility had really shown. You know, it's not a perfect team, but they were playing really good football, and they had discovered an identity in 2 weeks that it probably took them 3 months to figure out last year. So this team had a lot of positive momentum beyond just blowing out South Florida. They were trending in a really good direction.
So let's just talk for a second, Pete. Next week is the open week. In the ACC this year, does everyone – I've lost track of the schedule because they started early. How many open weeks are there?
Well, Notre Dame has a couple. Notre Dame's next open week is in the middle of November between Boston College and North Carolina. The North Carolina game is the Friday after Thanksgiving. So that's a possibility. I don't have Wake Forest schedule right in front of me, but then you get into the first weekend between the end of the regular season and the very flexible ACC championship, which is either the 12th or the 19th. You know, if that game gets moved to the 19th, which, based on how things are going with Virginia Tech's cancellations, you would think they probably would, then perhaps you could make it up December 12th as well. So there's a couple dates. But if Notre Dame can get this game played by October 3rd, you know, then those two flexible dates remain to use at a later time. And I think that, man, based on the way things are going, that every team in America is going to deal with this kind of situation at some point.
And, of course, North Carolina has seen a couple of games go by the wayside, non-conference games, and I think they'll have 3 weeks off. So, I mean, I guess we've already alluded to it, but to me the disappointing part, and I'm sure for Brian Kelly and his staff, is that, and we talked to you about this a few weeks ago, but, I mean, Notre Dame was really a shining example of how to do this right.
Yeah, it's interesting because, the campus had its spike in August, and that's come way down. The campus at large reported one new positive test today and one new positive test yesterday, and according to their dashboard, whereas August 31st, they had 241 active cases on campus. Today, they have 33. So the fact that the football program is running divergently from the campus at large is a bit strange to me, because at first you felt like, well, students are going to mix together, but the football players have so much invested that they'll look after one another and sort of keep their numbers low. That seems to suddenly not be happening, which I think is another part of the concern for Notre Dame is, you know, if you can protect a campus of 12,000, why suddenly is a football roster of 100 such a challenge? So I think that's part of the story here, and that's something Notre Dame really needs to get to the bottom of.
No doubt. Well, Pete, thanks for coming on. I know you're in the middle of this story. We appreciate you making time, and hopefully we can talk again with better news. Hey, thank you very, very much.
All right, thanks, Paul.
You got it. Pete Sampson covers Notre Dame for The Athletic with that breaking news. Just came out a couple of minutes ago that their game this weekend has been postponed. Not canceled yet, but postponed. They both have Notre Dame and Wake with an open date, but you heard what he said. We'll take a break. A lot to do on this program. We will also include your phone calls at 855-242-7285. More to come.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Put a little cherry on the top.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. And we put this up earlier, and hey, nobody's perfect. We gave Terry Wilson a new name for 5 minutes, but let's give him his old name back, and it's Terry Wilson. He will be the starter Saturday for the Kentucky Wildcats. So congratulations, Terry, for no amount of money and no work by you, but only us. We've given you your proper name all back. We are back on the show, and we were just hearing during the break from Jimbo Fisher, and let's find out exactly what is happening, as this is somewhat of a mystery team out there. The Aggies' expectation is still high, but they've had a few opt-outs, and great to bring back our friend Owen Buchanan, who covers the team and covers the area. Owen, thank you for being back with us. We hope you're well, and we're as eager as I'm sure your audience is about to find out what's going on with the Aggies.
Well, thank you for having me. And the Aggies fans are very eager, and I think a little bit anxious after some of the latest issues around the team.
So we've seen a couple of opt-outs, which is not unusual, but we haven't seen anybody opt back in. Can you give us, is there something behind the story, or are these isolated situations?
Well, I don't know if I can call it isolated, because there's been five overall. Yeah. Now, one guy, Elijah Blade, he has a shoulder issue and just felt like it would be better to sit out. And he missed half the season last year with the shoulder issue. That Javon Osmond, I guess you got to take people at their word. He said that he's a receiver, their number one receiver coming back. And he said that he wants to focus on getting ready for the NFL draft. And, you know, we've seen that happen before, but it was kind of strange that, you know, he made that decision about just about 3 weeks ago, and then Anthony Hines just a couple days ago, I guess it was on Sunday, the linebacker, starting linebacker, who was second on the team in tackles last year, decided that he was going to opt out, and he cited social unrest and, you know, had some concerns about the COVID pandemic. Apparently he had a family member that he lost about 3 weeks ago. So I think that he said that is the reason that he decided to opt out at this time.
So Owen, when you get all these people removed from the roster, doesn't seem like it helps. How much does it hurt?
Well, I think it hurts. I mean, I think even the most optimistic prognosticator for A&M would have to take a step back. If you were thinking, hey, I think they're going to win 8 games this year, I think you'd at least say, well, you know, maybe I'm hoping for 7. Jamon Osmond was the only receiver on the, you know, wideout on the roster with any real playing experience. I think the rest of the receivers on the roster right now had 6 catches combined last year. And, you know, he had about 870 receiving yards. Without a doubt, again, the most experienced receiver they had. Now, they've got talent. You know, they've got a bunch of 4- and 5-star guys if you buy into that. But again, they haven't played yet. And as far as Anthony Hines goes, it's our understanding that the competition at his position was very intense this this camp. And if he didn't lose his starting job, it was definitely it was definitely close with him, a senior, Aaron Hansbart. But even if he had lost his job, and I'm not saying he did, but even if that was the case, you needed him, for depth, because on the depth chart after Aaron Hansbart, you've got a couple of true freshmen now. And Aaron Hansbart's never been a starter, And it probably doesn't – it's not maybe not a big deal this Saturday is Vanderbilt, but you got Najee Harris in Alabama in a week. You'd like to have all your best linebackers out there.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we can easily look past Vanderbilt. They're projected to be the at the back of the pack this year, but Alabama's next. They're projected to be first, and the schedule is the schedule. It's it may not be quite to the degree of last year when I think four of the top five teams were on the schedule, and of course A&M lost to all of them. But you know, after Alabama, you have Florida, which is no favor. That game was added to the schedule. At Mississippi State, Arkansas next. At South Carolina, a bit of a mystery team. At Tennessee, Ole Miss, LSU, and Auburn. So let's talk about what are the expectations. You mentioned seven a minute ago, or eight. I can't remember. What does the average Aggie fan, after looking at that schedule, Olin, think this team is going to end up?
Oh, an average Aggie fan, I would guess, would probably say now seven wins. Some would still think eight's possible. I think they're still going to be a pretty good football team. Kellen Mons, by all accounts, has had a big off season. Looked real good in practice. They've got a good running game. They can move Anaya Smith from running back to receiver if need be. I don't think they want to do that. The defense should be really good. Especially against the run. So there's reasons to still feel like they can have a good season. I think we'll know whether or not they're a championship-caliber team by the third week of the season. You know, if you can split the Alabama-Florida games, I think you're going to look at it and say, okay, these guys have a real chance. If you don't, then I think, you're just hoping for a good year. And if you had seven wins, it's, quite frankly, probably a little bit disappointing.
Owen, this time of the year everybody feels good, but I'm going to push you a little bit on this, and I'm curious because splitting Alabama and Florida, we're talking about two fan bases who both are counting on getting to the playoffs. I'm just trying to understand better why Aggie fans think that's reasonable to do.
Well, I think that if you look at first of all. We all know that going to Alabama, you're going to be a decided underdog, and it's understandable. Florida may be a little bit different. I think if you look at Florida and look at A&M, a lot of their issues are the same. I think A&M did, they had a tough year last year, lost to the teams they were pretty much supposed to lose to, played a pretty good game against Georgia. Didn't work out, down the stretch, they lost by a touchdown. But they're an experienced team, and they've won some games. They had to get the offensive line they had trouble with last year. They had a lot of guys hurt in that line, and they think they're going to be a lot better there. Again, I think the feeling is they're going to be very good on defense. They have to be better against at cornerback, but they think they've addressed those issues. So the feeling is that that Mon experienced in his third year, looking really good, that they feel like they're going to have a strong running game. They have a big-time tight end, just like Florida does. Again, with a defense that they think can be one of the better ones in the SEC, especially against the run. So, they feel like they're going to have a chance to beat anybody. And a good chance. So with the exception of the Alabama game where you go in understanding that, you're a decided underdog, I think if you look at it really objectively, and I'm not saying this because I cover A&M, but if you look at it objectively, I don't think there's a team on the schedule that you'll look at and say, okay, I just don't think A&M has a reasonable chance to win that game.
Owen, if somehow it goes below eight or seven or six or seven, and I don't know. I mean, we're all in la la land right now, trying to figure out the season. What is the feeling of the fans going to be in relation to Jimbo Fisher?
I think right now the general fan base is still very happy with Jimbo. It would be a major disappointment if they went like 6-4. I think that there's a feeling that most of the talent on this football team is still in the sophomore and freshman classes. You can look at the last two recruiting classes. If you buy into that, we're ranked third and sixth in the nation. So I think that there's a lot of expectation for this year and a lot of hopes. But I think most of the people that follow A&M, most of the fans understand that it's been a rebuilding process. And until you start seeing the guys that that were part of that freshman and sophomore class playing as sophomores and juniors, you know, you're still getting better. So I think what I'm trying to say is that it would be a disappointment if they go six and four this year. But the feeling is that the future is still looking better because most of the talent's in the lower classes.
It is great to have you on. We hope you'll come back, and we can't wait to see the Aggies this weekend and the rest of the way. Thanks, Owen. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on, Paul.
Fantastic guest. Owen Buchanan, really a fantastic look at the Aggies. They are one of those mystery teams. They could make a run right behind Alabama, maybe in the West, or have a season similar to last year. The schedule is difficult. We will take a break and get more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are off and running right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back, and it is great to have everyone here. And more phone calls at 855-242-7285. Joe is in Georgia, and you are on the air. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
What do you think about Auburn's defense this year?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I know what I last saw, and I know how good I think Kevin Steele is, but I'm optimistic. What about you?
I think they'll do good this year. What do you think about any thoughts about Bo Nix?
I love Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is going to be one of the true stars of the college football season. Thank you for the call. Jonathan in Denver is on the air. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
I guess my question for you would be, it looks like Mac Jones news just broke this morning. Do you see a Justin Fields and Jake Fromm situation going on in Tuscaloosa? With him beating out.
The only thing I will say there is maybe a little early, but possibly. I mean, let's not forget, Bryce Young came with the credentials that every hotshot five-star quarterback comes with. He chose Alabama for a reason. He fully expected to be the heir to Tua Tagovailoa. And, Mac Jones has just been gritty. I think Young has been hurt by COVID, not having a spring. But I will say 9 weeks from now, it might be a legitimate conversation. But right now, I think it's a little bit early to tell. And I'm not giving you a cliche. I just don't know yet.
No, yeah. I mean, Mac does have another year after this year of eligibility. So you know how kids like to wait.
Yeah, no, and everybody's got more time now because of the uncertainty of the season. But I think Bryce Young has been slowed down by a couple of things. He missed a couple of days of practice, I understand, in August, which did not help him. Maybe a week. So I just think we're going to have to see him in a game and see how it develops. And I doubt we'll learn a lot Saturday night against Missouri, which is undermanned right now. But I think this is a conversation that we could be having later in the year. I will tell you that.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, thanks. I mean, it's a little hard to say right now, but quite frankly, everything's a little bit hard to say right now. Eli is up next. Eli, go right ahead.
Hey, how are you? I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, what game are you looking forward to the most this weekend, and what do you think the outcome will be?
I tell you the game that I think is the most important of the weekend, Eli, which would be the one I would be looking forward to the most, and that's Tennessee at South Carolina. We're not used to having conference games or very often having. We've had them before, but not often having a conference game of these consequences. So I think the winner of that game gets a little bit of momentum, but the loser, I think, really is in trouble early on. Let me ask you a question. You're calling from Tennessee, right? So am I to assume you're a Tennessee fan?
Yes, sir.
No, I don't know how I got that right, but I just took a wild guess. So you tell me. I'm going to make it could be that I'm from Tennessee, too. You tell me, as you look at that game, what you're looking forward to the most.
I'm trying to see if Garantano will have some improvements and just new wide receivers and stuff.
You know, I, with all due respect to Jared, I had the same thought when you got to his name because, I mean, he's been around for so long. But, he just seems to come and go in terms of being a fan favorite. Well, I tell you what, let's talk Monday or Tuesday and see how – I'm gonna make a prediction that you're predicting Tennessee to win. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have not made up my mind yet, but, EY, I will I'll certainly take your prediction to heart. Holt is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Holt.
Hey, Paul. You doing all right?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I was just calling to see about Garantano and seeing if you thought he would have substantial growth this year under year two under Chaney.
I hope so. I think he's been – I don't think he was dealt a great hand last year. It was such a rocky start. And I think he is an intriguing quarterback. The fact that he's still around and going to be the starter, I think, is pretty remarkable. But I do think he can grow. Yes.
Same here. You think the Vols will cover? Or pick them. What are you thinking for the outcome of the game this weekend?
To show you how stupid I am, Holt. What is the line? I have not seen it.
It's 3.5 in favor of Tennessee.
Okay. I mean, think about that. Tennessee, a road favorite in the SEC. That's a compliment to the program, don't you think?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So which way would you go? Because I am not a gambler.
Oh, I'm going with the Vols. Got to.
Okay. So you're going to give a live dog at home. I think I do know that phrase from gambling. Yeah, I know a lot of folks and by the way, I'm more than happy to answer any question about games, but I must confess, I am not a gambler, so I know very little in terms of trying to get the point spread right. Now, tomorrow, we've got a guy on the show who he's one of the leading experts in the world on that. He is Danny Sheridan, and he will take your phone calls. So I strongly recommend anyone has a gambling question in relation to college football, he is your guy, not me. I will make you broke, and nobody needs to go broke right now during this pandemic. We are heading to a break. Reminder of the top story that we came on with from the ACC, the Notre Dame-Wake game this weekend, postponed. I'll try to play it the following week where they both have open dates. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're right back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.